live, and one of us will change their last name to Flores so they don't have to reprint a shirt. It's the Vocal Minority Podcast.
I'll do it.
I was being facetious. I've got the form mostly filled out. I just got.
Yeah, but I fill out the form. I'm halfway through braiding my hair.
Raise your voice.
Come on, guys. Obviously.
I've spent all day getting my hair braided, colored, everything.
I had to grow it out first.
So you're going to make this about hair now because I don't have any.
That's rude.
Hey, listen here, Mark. Exactly.
I don't like what this has done to us.
This is mine. I need this, Mark.
All right, then I'm out.
Yeah, that sounded desperate, man. I'm not. Who am I to stand in the way?
And that's okay. How Duncan went to the World Cup. Any questions?
Yay!
I bet you're wondering how I got myself in this position.
Record scratch. sending it center field.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking more of a penalty shot situation, but yeah.
The goalies suddenly are injured and Duncan's in net.
Yep.
Sure.
He's just about to leap and then that's when it freeze frame.
Oh my God, that would be so cute.
I just want a bit part in the biopic, Dunk. That's it. Okay. Just
as the kit man.
Sure. Yes.
Here's your laundry, Mr. Fletcher.
And then Flores. And see. Flores. God damn it.
Flores,
Jesus.
Mr. Flores. All right. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast, the podcast that obviously has World Cup fever because we're all delirious. On this week's show, we are going to look back at triumph for the men's national team, although maybe not so triumphant for their shins. We will wrap up. We'll look back at the week that was for the CANPL and the NSL. We will talk about the official World Cup squad, except for now there's a question mark. Talk about the XNT's squad for their upcoming friendly in Costa Rica. There's a new coach gonna be on the scene eventually in July. Yeah, I know, but we know all about him, so we're gonna tell you about him. And then we'll look ahead to a few matches for the coming week. Now to this week's panel. Really, really excited about joining the squad. Please say hello to Duncan Flores.
Yep, it's been a lifelong dream. I'd like to thank myself, mainly.
That's good.
I thank everybody else.
Self-affirmation.
Yeah.
You sound like a footballer, too. This is great. Jamie Target's on the scene.
thanks, Jesse Marsh as well, I suppose. Sure. And stick up to the boss while there's still a chance. So you can.
Still thinking, he could be the second alternate. Please say hello to Marcello Hinckley.
Gracias. My authenticity is nowhere near as Duncan's. I'm just don't get hurt between now and then, Dunk. I mean, honestly,
I'll do what I can.
I'm willing to get some markers and draw it into my head, but no one's gonna buy that. Oh, that and the fact that I look completely nothing like him and it would die in the sun. So like it's just whatever. But
you can just play in the cloudy games. Or you can play
in a dome. Oh,
you can play a BC place. It'll be no problem.
Yeah, there you go. Because they're not gonna. I think they have to keep it closed the whole time to protect the grass. Remember?
Yes,
you'd be safe like there.
Mm. Yeah. True. Even if they open it up, there's always shadows on the pitch. You could just stick to the shadowy parts of the pitch. You'd be fine.
And Hinckley has them all confused with this very strange running pattern.
Yeah,
where's he going with the ball?
Yeah, for the first time ever, you're going to see a shadow map on instead of a heat map on where my movement was.
Yes.
It's like he played really well just behind half at the start of the game, but he was making his way over the halfway pitch, but halfway mark, but not quite into the final third for the second half. No idea why. No one's figured it out. I'm just chasing the shadow.
Yes.
Before you introduce yourself, Kristen,
Sure.
but I'm gonna ask you the same question. This
Uh-oh.
is from this is a continuation from last week. Hey, Duncan, on a scale of 1 to 10,
Go on.
what's your World Cup fever at right now, realistically?
Six?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Kristen?
Yeah, I'm still like slightly more like I like a more excited six. Like last week, I feel like I was like a very pushing it for six, but at least having the squad sort of helps and seeing like the match as like, oh, there's the team. I don't know. I'm still, yeah, I don't know. It's gonna, I feel like it's not gonna hit until next week. I don't know. I'm trying. I'm trying. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna talk about some of it anyway, but
That's fair.
ooh, World
I'm
Cup.
at I'm at about a I'm at about a I'm almost at a seven. I'm at a 6.5. Part of it's
Okay.
because I got my Voyager scarf in the mail.
Oh, so I still don't have mine.
So
Oh, bet you that's what it
is that
is.
the package, the mystery package that we were
That's
talking before
probably the
everybody logged
mystery
in?
package.
Or before we started this? Yeah, that's probably it. That would make some sense.
I, dear listeners, I came home to a Canada Post delivery notice and could not think of a single thing that could possibly being attempted to be delivered to my home, because I don't order things and people usually tell me when they send me stuff, but that could be it. That is probably it.
Oh, and I've also opened up two boxes of soccer stickers.
Oh, well,
That
that'll do it.
helped out. If you need to get good stickers out of your sticker packs, get my wife to open them.
Oh, Mary's got the touch.
I don't know what the fuck she, I she it's crazy. She's like, okay, there's I think I mentioned this, and those of you who don't know, there's rarity levels. It's kind of stupid, but it just kind of adds quote
Did
unquote
you get a
value to
black
the
border
sticker.
sticker?
No, you would have heard me from
Holy
where I
crap.
am.
Okay, I was going to say,
No,
sir, you got to share that with your friends.
so there's like the regular ones, just white border, and then it goes like blue, red, I think it's green, purple, and black. I forget what the third and the second levels are. But I had opened something like 75 packs and didn't get any reds. Mary opened 25 of them and got two. So it's like, come on. It's not fair. It's not fair. Why? Why does she get two and I get? I mean, they're mine, but you know what I mean? I would have liked the excitement to open them up and get one red one. I wouldn't be like, ooh. But no, it's fine.
Did you get a golden Infantino card or a Trump card? I imagine those are
Ew, a
the
Trump
really
card.
special
A
ones for
Trump
this.
card. There's so many levels to
Oh
that. I don't like anymore now.
no.
No, thankfully they wouldn't ruin the book by putting his stupid face in it, but it's probably in there. I just haven't looked hard enough. No, I'm at about
I feel like they would. I feel like, just the basic level of like corruption and just greed and just not even faking that anymore. They would absolutely have Infantino and Trump in there.
Yeah, giving each other hand jobs. That
Quite
would be a
possibly.
sticker I'd want. No, I don't think I have either of those. But Matt, 54%. I've got a checklist going.
Ooh. Of course you
Uh,
do. If you
fun,
didn't, you wouldn't be Mark.
yeah, fun fact, if it's that fun. Distribution's kind of weird. Like I'd open the so I opened the first box up on Saturday, opened the second one on Sunday. On Saturday, I didn't have a single Czechia sticker after 45 packs. Like mathematically, I don't even understand how that's possible. Like that just was seemed really, really weird. And then the last five packs, there was four stickers for Czechia. So that was kind of weird. Let's see, Austria. I got out of the 20 stickers, Austria's at 14 out of 20. Ecuador's at 16. Germany's at 14. Ivory Coast at 14. Iran's at 15. Canada, I should probably mention Canada part. That would probably be good. 13, not bad. Yeah, I think that's as good. Sadly, the Americans are at 14. Uzbekistan's at 14. But I think.
Yellow cards, yes, they are.
Anyway. Who wants to trade?
Well,
Contact within.
contact
Sorry.
with it.
Gotta get my blood.
As for me, I have no idea what I was going to say, so let's just start the show.
Sorry. She's Kristen
I'm
Knowles. She's Kristen Knowles. You didn't even say your name.
your host, Kristen Knowles. Okay, first up, what's been happening? And we are not going to start with what feels like the obvious. We're going to talk about the Campion in the NSL first. And so, again, I am a supporter of Pacific FC, mainly by birth. The Seagulls weren't around when the league started, and I try not to switch my allegiances too much, although, of course, I've been known to. And I want good things for them. I really do. I really do. And I thought briefly on the weekend that there was light. They were excited about their new coach eventually joining them in a month, because it's Pacific who's getting a new coach, as we all know. But and I was like, the perceived new coach bounce, like let's have it, some enthusiasm, good things are coming to us, guys. Score first. Go up 2-0 on the Atleti. They were winning. They at home, life was good. And then it was awful. Now they didn't lose, but that draw felt like one of the worst losses to just in their late goals and their stupid goals, and I'm angry about them. And
You hide it well.
I know, right? Yeah, those acting lessons are really paying off. Like 10th minute of stoppage time. Are you kidding me?
Jesus, that sound.
Fucking blue tabla. Fuck you, blue. Hate you. Whatever.
Yeah, that's
Stupid team.
ridiculous.
Not to worry, they've got a proven winning coach on the way.
Apparently.
To be discussed later, I guess.
Yes, I guess. I just, yeah, I don't know why I put it where I put it. I just did. And Hamilton's back in first place. Congratulations.
Woo! Hooray! Called it. 3-0. Except they didn't score three.
No, they did not. But Supra with a nice match. 3-1 win for them over York Six in the rain. But basically they had a delay in the game, and the prevailing thought is that Supra handled the delay better than York Six did. It wasn't a huge delay, but it is all how you manage the time, trying to stay warm, trying to stay focused and stuff like that. A scrappy 1-0 victory for Hamilton over Calgary, and back in first, just barely, but still they up there, 19 points, Calgary 17, York 6, and the Atleti basically, actually the mushy middle is pretty mushy. York 6 at 12, Atleti at 11, Supra at 10, Halifax at 9. Although keep in mind that both York 6 and Supra each have matches in hand because of the super balanced schedule. And Pacific, still the only team yet to win a game in this so far short season. And the Seagulls just ever so slightly ahead of them. It's just,
Woo,
Halifax won.
BC. Woo.
Yeah, woo BC. Yeah, exactly. That hotbed of Canadian soccer, some of the most entrenched programs in Canadian soccer in British Columbia. It's why they have their giant catchment area and all that stuff, or they did. I don't even know if they still do. But yeah. Yeah, not great. Halifax, you know, also with their victory over the Seagulls. All right, it's been a tough start to the old CAMPL season for British Columbia. It's true. Oh, sorry, I just decided to just smash my hand on the underside of my coffee table. Ow, I apologize, everyone.
Well, while you're recovering from that, can I postulate something weirdly interesting? Now, maybe this, everybody kind of knows
please.
This.
Yes, please, go
but,
for it.
So the game in the Pacific game, that was the Pacific's first goal. That was the only goal this week that was scored in the first half. Everything else has been in the second half.
Oh, now see, that is interesting.
What's also interesting is that I realized this isn't unique. So I've gone back. To May.
Ooh, research, journalism.
Yeah, I love this analysis.
Live
go
in the
on.
Moment, because you know I'm this is who I am. Like I think I counted, including this week, four goals have been scored in the first half, and everything else has been in the second half since May 1st. And there's like there's a 4-1.
That's
and a
fascinating, actually.
Yeah, this they take their dear sweet fucking time getting warmed up. Warm ups are supposed to happen before the game, guys, not during. That would be rude for customers. But like, what the hell? A lot of second half goals and a lot of late goals.
So that's just Canadian football and how it is. That explains Canada versus Uzbekistan as well, I guess.
I guess so.
I guess Jesus, so.
I'm kind of I did not watch many of the highlight packs, but I realized I got to go back and watch Halifax Vancouver, mostly just the last like stoppage time, because Cicerelli got a yellow card in the 92nd minute, scored in the 93rd, got a second yellow in the 94th.
Second yellow card, yeah. I did forget to mention that. Thank you, Mark, for noticing that. I
what
meant
the
to, and then I
ever
forgot.
Loving fuck happened.
I know.
Did you score so good that you pissed off the ref? I mean, I imagine he probably took his shirt off, but like,
I think he took his shirt off. Yeah.
Like, but so
oh, who was the TFC player that did that?
He forgot that he just got booked like two minutes ago, and then took his shirt and got a second yellow.
He's 19, and it's probably it's definitely his first goal of the season. I just caught this. He got subbed in the 84th minute. So
I was gonna say, he was a sub too. Yeah, I was about to bring that up. Yeah.
In 20 minutes, he had a whole fucking game.
He lived a whole life, you know?
I love this league. At this point, it's like, I want the goals to be spread out a little more. Not because I just looked at numbers. I had an inkling, because it's like, last week, because I was looking, when I was looking up the scores and the results, and it's just like, these all seem a little late. Like, not, you know, there were goals in like the 47th minute, but they were all like everything second half is what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's just so funny, odd to me. Like, I don't even know like where you would go and research. Is that a usual thing to happen? Like, it's like, we all agree to just take it easy for 45 minutes, then we put the screws to each other. So there you go.
No,
shit
that's
that
a very,
I caught.
That's a You're, very good fun fact. I like that a lot. And then any guesses on who's leading the U21 minutes race? Actually, better question is, any guesses on who's in second? Hint, it's not what you think.
All right, I'll say Calgary's in second, because that would not be what I would think.
Close. Third, actually, for them.
Oh. Hamilton?
Hamilton is in second.
Shut up.
For U21 minutes.
What?
Letty lead the way, then Hamilton, then Calgary, then Supra, Pacific Seagulls, and then Halifax and York Six lagging way behind at the bottom. Okay, like, even that's... Halifax isn't looking too shiny, but like the top four are doing pretty well. But I was shocked to see Hamilton up there. Yeah. Now, they do have a different team this year, right? Like, we should mention in the Hamilton game that Becker got subbed on late in the game for his first minutes of the season.
No.
Did he play last week?
I thought he played last week. Yeah.
He played last week. I just saw the very late sub and I was like, oh, yeah. Cool. Anyway, it's nice to see him, you know, healing well enough to be playing and stuff.
I just want to make sure that Hamilton is getting the over 30 minutes quota met. So that's probably why I came on.
Anyway, I wasn't surprised about Otletti. That's fine, but I was surprised to see both Hamilton and Calgary like right up there for the U21 minutes. I was like, all right, cool. Why not? Why not? All right. Well, all of that is our look at the CAMPL for the last weekend. And now let's look at the NSL. And so I'm going to do this a little bit out of order because it was so startling and such a bad game. Calgary, we talked about this a few times now, but oh, the Wild are very, very bad. They're very bad. So they got spanked by Toronto, who desperately did need a win. 4-0.
I just love how you talk about, oh, they're very bad. They're very bad. They got spanked.
I'm not editing that out.
All of a sudden,
oh, no. Oh, please edit that out.
Nope.
Oh, God damn it.
Kristen dominating the entire internet.
Yes.
I will whip this podcast into shape.
We know. Duncan, outstanding pickup. That's fabulous. I did not catch that shit at all.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. I don't know where to go from here. Apparently, I don't know. God, we're back, baby. Yeah, it's been a while. This was a startlingly bad game by Calgary. Which goal was it? Was it the second goal?
It was the first.
Was the first one? Oh my God. The Calgary keeper she's gonna have nightmares about that goal. Nightmares.
Oh my God.
Like the colossal fuck up on that goal.
Yeah.
You really do have to watch the highlight of it. Or low light, depending on who you support, because I don't even know what she was doing. She basically passed her the ball, pretty much. It was like, here, have the ball. You should score on me now. It was ridiculous. Anyway, it was ugly, ugly goal. The whole thing was very, very bad on Calgary's part, and Toronto, again, winning 4-0, and with that game, now have a positive goal differential. Right. That game gave them a positive goal differential.
One royal ass kicking, and we're on the plus side.
Calgary, 0 shots on target, only 2 total shots.
Hey, it's good enough for Arsenal. Almost.
No corners, just lots of clearances because they were getting, you know, just pestered nonstop by Toronto. But yeah, anyways, bad game. Surprised it's been 2 whole days and we haven't heard of there being a firing from Calgary. So yeah, not good. Not good at all. also in the maybe not good category, but all Montreal are fallible. They lost 3-2 to Vancouver, who have put together a nice little run, actually. They've won, was it their last three? That's terrible. Yeah, they've won their last three after losing their first two. Montreal has now lost their first match. So Vancouver have moved themselves up into the third spot. Just behind, well, not just behind. Anyway, Ottawa's in striking distance now of Montreal with their win over Halifax. But it's this streak that Vancouver are on that is fascinating. They really took, they took those two first losses personally, as you should. Or first three losses, sorry, because they played six games. And now, three in a row, slowly, still have a huge, huge goals against. But that is mostly due to those first three matches. It's an interesting turnaround. It's, I feel bad for Montreal because I like them, but it's nice to see when a team is like, all right, clearly we're fucking up big time. So I don't know, Calgary should be taking notes. But yeah, good on Vancouver for figuring that shit out, right? Like they sort of look almost, they look a little unbeatable right now. Who do they play this week? They play Ottawa, which is the team they want to try to get past. Well, they can't quite get past them, but they can. They'd still be in third goal differential unless they put a pile past them. I don't think they're that good. But anyway, it was interesting. There's a little, a little bit of shuffling going on now, except for poor, sad Calgary. So if you look at the standings for the NSL right now, basically, Calgary are this year's Halifax.
Now, which is crazy that somebody has to have that role.
I know.
Because Halifax were awful.
Yeah. And they're not fantastic this year, but no,
they're capable.
World's better than last year.
Like Halifax last year felt like they weren't bad. They were just like they were unlucky a lot too.
Yeah.
But I see nothing from Calgary. From the two games I've watched and the highlight packs, it's like those highlight packs are one-way traffic. Actually, it's not one-way traffic, but at halftime they switch ends. But otherwise, it's theoretically one-way traffic. It's like shot on net, goal, goal, shot on net. And then Calgary gets the ball. It's like, oh, that went out for a corner. And then they kicked it over the bar. Like, it's like, this is not, those aren't highlights, guys. You guys are in trouble. You guys are in lots of trouble. I feel bad for them.
I do too. I just they and Toronto are both also, they're the two unbalanced teams, so they each have a game in hand on everybody else and will for like the next month and a half until that schedule gets sorted out. But yeah, Calgary really, man. Five losses and a draw, or sorry, four losses and a draw because they've only played five, right? But 17 goals conceded, 17 in five games.
Did they hire Igor Tudor as the manager?
Yes, what's going on? Oh, it's so. Anyway, it's messy. They play Halifax next week, Toronto, Montreal. That should be interesting. And Vancouver, Ottawa. So everyone look out for Vancouver, man. All right. Let us discuss last night, day before recording, last night's men's national team match versus Uzbekistan in a very, very, very rainy Edmonton. Very rainy. The positive part of that is that the really heavy rains had died off. It was just regular annoying rain by the time.
Yeah, that's nice.
I was because knew a number of people there and was texting in a couple different group chats. At least it's under a millimeter now, and they're like, "You're not helping."
There seemed to be a lot of poncho-clad people in the crowd who were very much reconsidering their life choices at that point. As the first half wore on.
Oh, yeah, especially the first, And other sort of interesting thing is that if you didn't know, they did install grass for this match. That was a grass pitch they were playing on, not the usual artificial, albeit new, pitch that Commonwealth has.
Really? I didn't know that Commonwealth went to turf. Like, I'm saying that for a while there, like for the longest time, it was the biggest stadium in Canada with grass. And it was the biggest stadium and it had grass, which was very
weird. No, they went to turf like a decade ago. It was a while ago.
Definitely would have been before the 2015 World Cup, because that was all turf all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly when did it?
Yeah, maybe 15 years now. Yeah, I forgot it was right. It was before 2015. Yeah. So no, and then it was notoriously, up to last year before they replaced it. It was in awful condition. It was horrible pitch to even look at, really. But yeah, I always felt bad for the players of any sport that had to spend time in Commonwealth. So yeah, they put in grass for this game.
Spring of 2010, they put in turf. Wow.
Okay.
Not really keeping up on my who's got the surfaces going on. I'm more into the capacities than I am about what's the playing like, because I don't get to play in that.
As the former host of the Kitten Stadium podcast, I'm disappointed, Mark.
Again, it was about how big is it, when are they building it? I'm not. Look, if I was a scout or if I was an agent, sure, then that shit matters. I'm just a nerd who likes seeing things built for sports. So I don't, are the players suffering? No. But does it have good sight lines? Yes. Okay, then I don't care. It's great. That's just so everybody's clear as to where my focus is, where my biases lie.
Yeah, where your biases lie. That's good to know. Anyway, so in front of a mostly close to sellout crowd, sold out crowd, not sellouts, sold out. And a few, more than a few, Uzbekistan fans from the looks of it. So that was nice, although obviously a predominantly pro-Canadian crowd. Jesse Marsh doing a lot of player juggling, having said he was going to try to basically give almost everybody a run out if he could. Both keepers got opportunities. But I
feel like there were three keepers.
Sorry. Both keepers in contention for being the number one keeper got opportunities.
I know. When they said that they agreed to have 11 substitutions each.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it makes sense, but I've never heard I know.
Some sort of gentleman's agreement, yes.
Hey Duncan, you want to play against me this weekend?
Yes.
All right. Here's official rules. Here's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Hockey-like substitutions. water breaks.
Just rotate your lines.
Four water breaks. And I'll bring the oranges for halftime. Deal? Mm. Or what would you like in concession?
Interesting. I'd like to play with three more players on my team than you. 11 versus 8.
Then offside rules, and we can't get booked.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I want to see
this
this
is the
game
worst
out.
friendly ever. Okay,
I really
this
want
is
to
by
see this
definition
played
a hostile. It's not.
I so want to see this played out. Oh dear. Well, speaking of hostile, though, like,
Segue.
well, if you watch the match,
Oh yeah, I
or
know
if
what
you
you're
watch
talking
the
about.
highlights, or if you know, go back, because Uzbekistan did not. I don't think the players considered this to be a friendly. This was.
I guess they are still out there trying to impress their way onto a World Cup
Perhaps,
squad
yeah.
slash
Like,
team.
guys, you made it.
Jesus.
Like, you're play. Like, you're. It's okay. Yeah, it was. It was a little startling to watch. It's like, can you stop? You know, like, just play the game.
But
Stop
by
with
the
all the
third one,
tackling. Like, why are
by
you
the third
trying to?
tackle, wait. Does Uzbekistan know there's no points for this? Like, do they think this is like their first group match? Because they're going awfully fucking hard for a
I was just
team
gonna say,
that's
like, literally save some for next week, dudes. Like, you know,
like this.
went
Like, when they say
points
make a
there.
name for yourself at the World Cup, like, I think the word
This
you have to
isn't what
remember,
they're
guys, is
talking
at
about.
fucking at. Nobody says go naked, go make a name for yourself near the World Cup. No, 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 no.
Oh my
Anyway,
goodness.
I feel like the ref was kind of trying to calm things down a bit. He kind of like booked somebody like right from the start, I think with the first nasty tackle. He kind of booked him as if he should say, all right, you know, calm down, let's keep it down. But then they just didn't at all. They just kept going with it. So a lot of people think by then the ref backed himself into a corner where I guess I'm just going to keep booking everybody then. That's,
Oh,
yeah,
it was,
it's
yeah.
kind of fascinating, really. What are you doing?
It was pretty funny. It was, yeah, I was just like, wait, what is happening here? So the first half with the whatever the first group of players
Not great.
was not great. Yeah, that's underwhelming, lacking in chemistry. And intent, I think, is a way to put it. Yeah, I don't know if it's part of it. Like I put in the rundown, you know, it seemed like because there were a number of players that haven't had a lot of recent playing time, but are expected to be, you know, the starting 11. That was the one thing. I don't know if you guys caught this, but. If I saw one more tweet or one more comment from someone on TSN or whatever, like, oh, well, this looks like Canada's first choice 11. Oh, this is probably Canada's first choice 11. Oh, looks like Jesse's going with his first choice. You know, like 27 times. I was like, okay, y'all need to stop. Just be quiet. Just, I know you're excited, but shh. Inside voices. Just stop it. Like, I want to know, what is the, is there a broadcast there? Oh, of course, there has to be a broadcast or WhatsApp or group or something. Like, let's all just say this. We'll all sound really smart.
Yeah,
everyone say
yeah.
the same thing.
If
just
we
space
if we
out
guess
by
at
like
every
30
combination, we're right.
Like, holy fuck.
I bought
You know.
Every 7-digit lottery ticket combination known to man. Guess who won the lottery? This guy.
You know, except for Alphonso Davies, who isn't playing in the first game. It's already been stated he's not going to be ready for Canada's opening match at the World
Oh,
Cup.
man, he's already a substitute? That's crazy.
Yes.
Because he's not in the during
yes.
the game he played his starting 11. So many combinations. It was a terrible joke, is what I was going for. I'm sorry.
Anyway, it was just like I was like, all right, everyone just settle the fuck down. Like I don't necessarily disagree based on the players I saw on the pitch, but also just calm down. I realize y'all can't help yourselves, but try.
I think that there's potentially a difference between the first choice, the 11, and the 11 that we'll play.
Yes. Yes.
You look at the who was playing then, it's like, yeah, Pompey, though, not at his best. I think, yep. If he's at his best, if he's fully fit, yeah, he's absolutely in the first team. Is he, should he be in the first team right now? Maybe not. I mean, you know, there's still a week and a half before the important things happen, but.
Yeah, I think, and speaking of Bombito, the concern about whether he's truly injured, like the immediate panic when he went off, you know, with the ice pack and everything.
Oh my God.
Like, did I see someone say that they thought he'd broken something? I was like, okay, everyone again, settle down.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you're a doctor.
Yeah.
That's
you
right.
know
None
nothing.
Of you. Shut the fuck up.
You know nothing. We won't know anything. For days, probably. They will do their level best. Like, they will, even if he doesn't play on Friday, he doesn't play on Friday. But, you know, like, anyway.
It was
yes.
the hyperbole was really hype. I think it was kind of funny because I had a thought during, I think it was halftime. And, like, just the level of dissection. And it's like, oh, is this what halftime TV looks like in a soccer nation? Because I'm not used to seeing it. They were
maybe.
like that really
I thought of that,
hard,
actually.
Like 10-minute discussion on one fucking thing.
Yeah.
As if that was the, like, this is the thing that holds this entire thing together. This is the remaining thread of cohesion. And if this falls apart, and it just, wow, I'm not used to it. Like, I couldn't tell if I was happy for this or if I was embarrassed by it. Because on the one hand, I'm happy for it because this is like, oh wow, like, here's a network who's taking every minutia seriously. And then I'm embarrassed, like, they don't even do hockey this hard. What the fuck? Just calm down. Like, somewhere in the middle, guys, you're in the range. You've got a range now. Go 20% less than a Stanley Cup. About soccer, and I'll be like, yes, this is the level of seriousness and you know, investment and research and planning and deep dives that I want. But
fair.
It was, I don't know, it was weird to feel overwhelmed at a halftime roundtable punditry nonsense fest. So I get it. They're all also trying to get their best World Cup faces on, so it was fat. It was weird, the little things that were, like, I was picking up just from the media side during this match. Oh, and I also want to shout out to Luke for naming every Uzbekistan player and the club he plays for.
Yep.
He did not miss a chance to tell you that this guy played for Traktor, or this guy played for Tashkent, or this one played for in the United Arab Emirate League, or, like, clearly the information is name, age, position, club, and then a huge blank space beside it, because there's nothing else they could talk about that guy, because they don't know shit about him. Except for the one guy who apparently plays for Man City.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yep. Yes. Kucinov or whatever it is. Yeah. They knew some things about him. But I think the guy up front as well, who sort of missed that one, like, really good opportunity and just kind of, like, sliced it horribly, comically wide. I feel like he's somebody big that they kind of knew something about as well. But yeah, it was, like, literally two of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That first. Oh, yeah. That. Like, I think we said that was the one in the group chat. I think, right? We were like, oh, that was your goal, dude. Like, that was your moment.
Yeah.
Come on. Shout out to, you know, Crepo looked not like his MLS self in that half. So that was good.
Yeah, that's all we can ask.
Yeah. Basically, I was.
For
I was.
Both of them.
Yeah, for both of them. No, and Dane looked good in the second half too. I feel like Max had more to do in the first half, mostly because Canada was attacking better in the second half. So yeah, second half, some changes, lots of changes to the lineup, but also the introduction of Jaden Nelson, one of our personal favorites, who had a delightful second half. Not just because of the goal, although yay for Jaden getting a goal, that's wonderful, but he was really active on that wing, really involved, that one ball recovery on the line to keep possession and to keep an attack going. That was really impressive. But he was just, he was noticeable just for his involvement and for the energy and the focus contributed going forward, especially on that side. So that was great. Shout out to Jonathan Osorio for getting a goal. Lovely. He scored the winning goal. And I did like the symmetry that they did mention. I thought that was cool. So in the stadium in which he got his first ever cap for Canada, scoring to win this friendly. So that was nice. That was nice. We like a, really, we like a nice...
Really, is it really symmetry? I mean, if this was like the last ever game
yeah.
he was ever going to play, then that would
symbolism,
be symmetrical.
Then?
This is just... Yeah, right, well...
A nice thing.
Yeah, this is just the latest game that is played.
A nice story.
Sure.
Well, how often do they play at Commonwealth?
They did it twice in 2021.
I said how often? Not all often. Right, okay. We're gonna pull the string, and Duncan is gonna tell us how.
Not at all. Yeah. Right. I'm just saying it's not. Oh my God! Osorio did it in Edmonton. Okay. Sure.
Do you have any sentimentality in you, Duncan? Just even like a tiny little bit.
Some, when it's warranted.
Oh, I'm so glad we're friends.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're speaking of regretting life choices. No, I'm just kidding. Although I've known you guys for like 15 years now, or over 15 years.
Yeah, it's about, yeah.
It's wild.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. It's great, though. Anyway, the second half, again, was certainly better attacking-wise. They looked better going forward. They looked more organized. Again, lots of players getting looks out there. Richie Larea came off a little earlier than I thought he was going to play the whole first half. There was a lot of rotating, again, players who hadn't played as much, recently coming back from injury. Nico Seeger, Luc de Fougerol, got some time. Derek Cornelius, who played a good chunk of the match. I like Derek Cornelius a lot. He is honestly one of my favorite defenders, but he did not look sharp last night. And I know he's also recently back from, or semi-recently back from an injury, but I was like, he got like one of the many slide tackles or whatever. Like he was injured at one point. And Derek Cornelius, I start to have, he's like, reminds me a little bit of Livy Smith in that he just gets injured a lot. And so anytime I see him fall down or, you know, get tackled hard, I expect bad things to follow. So I was happy that he continued on in the game and seemed to, you know, gain a bit more sharpness as the match went on. But he's not in top form right now. And again, Canada's, you know, their opening World Cup match is a week and a half away. So there's lots of time for that sort of thing. Well, lots, but you know what I mean? From a sports fitness sense, they seem to manage. Duncan.
There's a whole friendly between now and then. A whole one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, there's been a lot of questions around this squad. And we'll talk about it shortly. But just that game, while an enjoyable win, and delighted that they won. Clean sheets are always nice, so good to see strong performances from Crépeau and St. Clair. A little concerning just, yeah, about some of the sharpness and the fitness, I think, for some of the players over the next week and a half. You guys have any other thoughts or observations?
No, not terribly. I kind of felt like Hannah looked great, even with the you know, constant rotation, the mishmash of, I won't say mishmash of combinations, but like, who's the starting 11? I don't give a shit. But they clearly work well when whatever combination's out there, and that's what I want to see. Also, I kind of feel that I'm glad they scored, because there was a part of me at halftime was like, this is going to be scoreless. They don't deserve this. They were playing really, really well. Uzbekistan had their chances, but
yeah,
just they not that many, but there were some of them were really, really juicy. That breakaway,
oh,
that was I'm like, okay, let's see you, boy. Let's see you do this. And when you put it past the post, I'm like, it's gonna be a good first World Cup, I can tell for you. part of me just can't help but think, like, man, we were shit once, like Canada, I mean. And
yeah,
seeing this, like, you know, this isn't exactly, you know, Canada hosting Brazil before the 94 World Cup and getting a draw, which was like one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And like, is Uzbekistan like looking at this going like, man, we're really hanging with one of the best teams in the world. First, you guys, it's nice. Secondly, holy shit. Like, I realize there's any number of factors, it being a monsoon like conditions, but I'm really pleased that Canada got the result, but like mostly the scoring of the goals, because and not from like people who've got the word David in their names, because those three guys are fantastic, but
yeah,
the other people, right? And the fact that other people that weren't David's, various David's, various forms, or Dave's, various Dave's, because Davies is not David, but yeah, I like it when the goals are coming from the players I'm not expecting to score. That gives me
yes,
gives me hope that, you know what, this is gonna be a perfectly good World Cup. It's gonna be a good performance. We're gonna bout in penalties in the quarterfinals, and it's gonna be lovely. Yeah, yeah, I'm already saying it. Fight me, everyone. Go for
quarterfinals. Okay.
I mean, I was gonna say semis, but like, come on, Mark, reel it in. Do we really want a third place? Yeah, we do. But do we want to peak like this? I don't know. Anyway, Duncan, do you have any thoughts?
It was a very nice goal. I didn't watch the full second half. I just saw the highlights of that. Nelson's goal was delightful. Lovely little pass from all the way, you say, whatever his name is, just a nice little sort of like touch inside the post from Nelson. He said, "Yeah, well, that's delightful." Aside from that, not much. I know it's another one of those things of, all right, well, some people look okay, some people look like, oh, they're not quite ready for this. We'll see what happens when we get there.
I mean, they won, clean sheet.
Yeah.
I was going to say nobody got injured, but Bombito's a question mark right now.
I do feel so that the whole thing about, oh, the second half seemed much better. You know, is that about me? Or I think maybe, you know, Canada bringing in the players that actually have been playing rather than a lot of players who just are, you know, technically first choice but haven't been playing? Or is it just that, yeah, Uzbekistan made a whole bunch of subs as well, and all of a sudden the opposition was shit?
That's interesting. Maybe a little column A, a little column B?
Probably.
All right. 46,164. is the official attendance.
Really good for a monsoon. Anyway, you got it.
That's I honestly was impressed by the turnout, actually.
No fucking way I'd be going to that game.
But again, for a lot of people, they looked at it as, you know, they can't go to a World Cup match, so this is their chance to see as close 100%. To the World Cup squad as they're going to get an opportunity to, right? So
I to be fair, if I lived there, I probably would have been going.
Yeah, I would have bought a ticket. If I lived in Edmonton, I would have bought a ticket. Whether I actually went or not when I saw what the weather was like, who knows? But at the very least, I would have bought a ticket.
That's good. All right. Well, let's move on to what we're talking about. And we are indeed going to talk about now the official FIFA World Cup 2026 trademark roster. For Canada.
Glad you
soccer.
Put the trademark in.
Thank you. Thank you.
Legal department. Not
legal department. Just, yeah, they said I had to. And again, with the exception of the newly injured Marcelo Flores, who did in his ACL during the C-Cubed final. If you've watched the replay of the injury, that didn't look comfy at all. No, that didn't look fun. No. So
did you the one like really good thing that came from that? And I don't know if you've like seen just a few photos that I saw afterwards, but basically for like the medal ceremony and just the basic teams hanging around for like the presentation, blah 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 thing. Basically, Flores just got sort of carried around by Gignac the whole time. It's like basically Gignac was really giving him a piggyback ride, and you know, it's like Flores is there. You know, he's got his sort of runners-up medal and what have you, and he's hanging there, and you know, his legs in a cast of some kind, and he's just like, you know, kicking his little just riding Gignac's back. And it's nice. It's actually, you know, it's Gignac's last game for them. And, you know, that's basically the last thing that you would have done for the team was carrying Flores around for the medal ceremony. Which, like Hodor. It's, you know, delightful.
It was nice. It was, yes. Although the current rumor is that Gignac... Please don't let this happen. Please just go out.
It's gonna happen. Like, it sounds totally like the thing should happen the way it should go.
That he's gonna go to Orlando.
Ooh.
I mean,
yeah, and so is Griezmann.
But I just
disgust. Yeah, just think, stop. Just don't.
Oh, you know what? Okay, like, look. I think the guy probably still has a season or two left.
You know, he's got stuff left in the tank. Sure,
he's still fabulous.
Yes, it's annoying.
But I kind of like seeing, I think I put this in the chat, I want to see him go out like a god.
Yeah.
Because he deserves to go out like a god. He did a potentially career suicide thing by leaving Europe to go to Mexico and become soccer Jesus for like a decade. And it's fucking bonkers. And it worked out for him. And I'm happy for him. Genuinely happy for him. But this story does not need a footnote at Camping World Stadium or whatever the fuck it's called.
I don't even know anymore.
Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't need that extra, you know, bonus chapter in the second edition of the autobiography. Yeah, so I went to Florida, rode some roller coasters, wore purple a lot. Back to you. You know, like
some roller coasters.
Doesn't need this shit. Like, it doesn't, the story doesn't need this. But, like, you know, I don't get to write this story. This is his story. And also, too, there's rumor trial. Like, he also sounds like the move that Toronto would have made last year for like 100%. We're going to overpay for an old guy? Sure. Sounds like us. But yeah, anyway. That's unfortunate. Anyway, yes. Duncan Flores.
I'm not sure what I was saying at this point, but
the callback to you changing your name.
Right. Yes. Sure. But yeah, the Juniac thing was a delightful little moment there for Flores, but altogether a really unpleasant looking injury and really sort of terrible timing for it.
No bad
for him. But yeah, anyway, back to you for the rest of the squad, Kristen.
Thank you, Mr. Flores. All right, so here is before the injury, here's the official squad. And again, I don't think much of this is really a surprise. And I think we would have had most of these written down in pen if we were figuring out a 26-player squad for the World Cup. Except for maybe Owen Goodman. Owen, no shade to you, man. Like, welcome to hanging out at the World Cup. Like, good on you. Yeah. I still feel bad for Jimmy Pants, so... but Maxime Crépeau, Owen Goodman, and Dane St. Clair. And then defenders, presuming he's not more injured than it looks, Moise Bombido, Derek Cornelius, Alphonso Davies, who again is not expected to play next Friday or this Friday. Neither of the following two Fridays should feature Alphonso Davies in the Canada kit. Luc de Fougerolle, Alistair Johnston, Alfie Jones, who, I don't know, played some minutes last night. Didn't look great, but also I don't know when he last played. So Richie Larea, Nico Seguir, and Joel Waterman. Then midfielders, Ali Ahmed, yay! Tejan Buchanan, who was suspended for yesterday's match. Hilarious. Mathieu Chouanier, Steven Mustachio. Yes, I know it's Eustachio, but the nickname has stuck. No longer Marcelo Flores, or Marcelo Flores, that's who was there. Ismail Kone, Liam Millar, Duncan's favorite, Jonathan Osorio, Nathan Saliba, and Jacob Schaffelberg, who also were still recovering from an injury. What was one of the things I saw? Was it Schaffelberg and, God, there was somebody else that wasn't going to play last night because they were still sort of rehabbing a little bit of something. And it was like, so they're being punished by running laps in the rain. And all I saw was this clip of Schaffelberg and somebody else literally just doing laps around Commonwealth in the rain. I was like, that seems mean. But, you know, fitness first, boys. Get that fitness back up. And then
to go there, Buchanan played last night, didn't he?
Did he play last night? I thought he wasn't playing. I need more sleep.
I feel like I'm certain I saw him. He was like on the right wing.
Oh yeah. He was supposed to be suspended and they fought it. That's what it was. I have too many things in my brain and they're all mushing themselves together. But thank you for keeping me honest, Duncan.
I try.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I love you. Tejan played. I will just look like a terrible podcaster who knows nothing. It's great. Forwards, Jonathan David, Promise David, all the Davids, Kyle Aaron. I love how that says from RCD Mallorca. And Tani Oluwaseyi. So those are your attacking players. Young-ish squad, which is kind of nice. Certainly a lot of up and coming players, you know, depending on how things go over the next couple of years, you could expect them to be taking over the squad from a few of the older players, but lots of players in their 20s, lots of players in their early 20s, which is nice to see that we have a ton of talent still coming up through the system. At least that's what you always want to hope for. Obviously, there's alternate players that are part of this training squad before the World Cup. And one of them who did play and played very well and scored last night is Jaden Nelson. And based on that performance and the injury to Marcelo Flores, the buzz is that surely or potentially strong potential that he has played himself onto the squad. Jesse Marsh, not saying anything just yet. But like, who else? So who else is there? So Ralph Prezzo, but he's defender, not, you know, like there's who else to join them for this one?
Well, it basically comes down to, you know, maybe do they need to be, yeah, we're going to replace Flores with another attacking player. So, yeah, probably Nelson. Or do we think, well, we might need to be replacing Bombito, or at least having another backup there for Bombito and Cornelius because of defense. So let's get Prizzo in. So that's a question.
Yeah.
Who exactly are you going to replace slash backup?
Well, they have until what? Well, they have until the 9th.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was that. It was even that late. Sure.
Or no, it's not. Yeah, it's. Where's that?
I think I might be confused. I was confusing hearing that. I think it was Uzbekistan. They said on the broadcast that they're going to announce their final roster on Friday, and I took that to mean that that was the final deadline for everybody, and they were waiting to the end. So don't take my word for it.
Apologize for all the typing. I should use my phone for this, but I've already started.
That's fine. All right, FIFA roster deadline. And the answer is...
Oh!
It's passed?
Yeah, it was... It says they have to have it. It was by the 1st, but changes. Okay. Replacements are. Replace. Once official lists are confirmed, replacements are only allowed up to 24 hours before the kickoff of a team's first match and only in the event of serious injury or illness.
Okay. So there could even be additions as late as the 3rd game.
Yeah.
That's
no,
fair.
No, no. Team's first match.
Oh, then they're locked in?
Until, well, they can, no, they have up until 24 hours. They have up until next Thursday morning, basically.
Okay.
To replace Flores, presumably, or perhaps Bombito, depending on how injured he may be. So that's what it is. That's why I was probably thinking of that cut off, and that's why my brain had it so late. But yeah, that's because having it, you know, a week and a bit out makes sense to be like, you guys need to tell us your players. But I actually didn't think that they would have the replacement cut off quite that late. That's actually a little bit surprising, but it's okay. You know, it gives them a chance to, if a player only has a knock, then the opportunity to let them work through that instead of trying to immediately replace them. So. I'm assuming they'll make a decision about Bombito. They'll be able to tell whether or not Bombito's fit over the next couple of days, presumably. And obviously Flores, you know, isn't. So that's one hole they need to fill. It's, I don't know how many they can do, how many they players they can, you know, replace. Is it a couple? Is it one? Like, are they only allowed one replacement player?
Probably depends on how many players get injured, you'd think.
Yeah.
Don't know.
But surely there's also a limit on that. Like, if like six players get injured, can you replace all six of them? Because there's a range for your squad. There's a minimum number, right? Like, it's 23 like to 26.
I would think so. Just because, like it's kind of like the emergency goalkeeper pool that they have in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
Like you may only have two keepers on the, you know, on your travel team at any point in time. But if shit happens, you don't want to be caught without, you know, having a second keeper, right? So that's that concept just expanded, especially for a World Cup tournament. Like, do you really want to see a team, never mind Canada, but like any other team? Sorry, I can think of like three teams that fit that list, but that's not the point. Where they've only got like they're starting 11 and four guys on the bench because of just a series of unfortunate accidents that have just happened over the previous 2 or 3 days. I think it's like I don't think anyone's gaming the system. It's not like we've got like some uncapped wonder kid just waiting, and we're gonna like wrestling style, we're gonna bring him out third match after everybody got hurt, and it's just gonna destroy football. Like that's the guys we're bringing in are clearly the second. Like there's no advantage, is what I'm saying. There's no real advantage to being able to replace those guys, except the madness of them organizing their tickets and like their airfare, getting the fuck down there as soon as possible.
Yeah, it sounds like looks like they can sort of, yeah, but up until that 24-hour, this is your squad locked in place thing before your first match. For outfield players, any number of outfield players can be swapped as long as they're part of the initial provisional list. And I know Marsh had a huge provisional list, right? Like I think he went the full 55 so that he had tons of choice. Based on fitness and availability kind of thing. So up until Thursday, what their first match kicks off at 3 on Friday. Or
Next,
what time is?
the Bosnia game next Friday.
What
Yeah,
time is that?
sounds about right.
It's 3. So they've got until whatever 2:59 on Thursday of next week, to name any replacements. And they can make as many changes as they want. But after that, you are locked in no matter what happens. So
Duncan, I promise not to call you at 2:55 just in case.
Yes, leave that line open.
exactly. That's
Yeah.
important shit right there. All right. So again, I don't think there's to me, there's not a lot. I don't have really, again, much to argue about with this squad. So just some my only concerns are fitness levels, right? Like obviously you had to name Alphonso Davies if there's a chance in hell that he can play. I don't love that, he can't play next week, but hopefully he can play in the second match. Are they holding him reserve for the third? Like, who knows? But again, if there's a chance that Alphonso Davies can play, you don't not name him to the World Cup squad. So, we shall see how how things go over the next several days. All right. Wow, we talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
Very, I know. Very quickly,
Let's wrap this up.
the squabble between the Seagulls / 6-5 Sports. And Afshin Gotby has been settled. They've settled their lawsuit over the unpaid loan. Everyone's friends again. Isn't that nice? Congratulations, everybody. Good job. Get that money, Afshin. Get it. Get it. Get your money. As we mentioned, the Aquaman are getting a new coach. And it's a bit of familiar face for TFC fans especially, but also Vancouver Whitecaps fans, national team fans. Terry Dunfield, come on down. You are the next contestant on Can You Coach a CanPL Team? I mean, he coached TFC.
And didn't he
He's
do well?
I
Jesus.
felt so that was yeah. Hometown boy, more or less. He's a BC guy, from Vancouver, so hometown adjacent. And I'll be curious to see how he does. Like with more experience now, having spent time in the national team system, working, in the U20s, working currently working with the U20s. Just curious to see, what he, if this maybe this is his level. We talk about players finding a level, coaches do as well, right? Not everyone can play in bigger leagues, not everyone can coach in bigger leagues. And that's not shade. That's just fact sometimes. So I'll be curious. Like I hope he does well because I desperately want them to do better.
Fair.
I did like I don't know if you noticed that I included his LinkedIn post because I still get LinkedIn emails, and I forgot that many, many years ago when I cared about LinkedIn, I, you know, made connections with lots of people in lots of industries, tons of soccer players, and somehow Terry Dunfield, I have on my LinkedIn. So excited to be joining the Pacific family. We will be the most dynamic, hardest working club in Canada.
Yeah.
Born and raised in BC, it's an incredible honor to lead Pacific FC. I was like, aw, that's nice. So they're not hardworking now. Is that what you're saying, Terry? No. They're certainly not very dynamic. That's true. But yeah, Terry Dunfield, come on down. Enjoy your home province again.
I think it's an interesting signing. I hope I think it would be incredible that he would be capable of, say, just stabilizing the ship. I'm not gonna say just writing it, just like getting it to 500 football, because
yeah,
like that would be a feat. And we've seen this in the league where, like, a good manager can get teams punching way above their station.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I think it'd be an interesting barometer as to how effective Terry Dunfield is as a manager. Like, if it doesn't work, it's not even his fault. Like, oh, these guys just can't do it. But if he can, it's like, oh, he's actually been a really good coach all this time. We only remember him for that month and a half he coached TFC. Didn't he have like 3 games, 4 games or something like that? He was interim.
I feel like he had 15 games. And
yeah, I feel like he was there. Yeah, I thought he was there for a while.
It was long.
Yeah,
it felt very long and quite uncomfortable at times. Because
yes, yeah, towards the end, it was like, this feels cruel.
Especially, it just didn't.
He's had other jobs since then.
He was so happy when he won that one game, though.
That's true. Yeah. That is very true. It was very nice. How many is that? It doesn't even say managerial career interim. It just says interim. It doesn't even give number of coaching career. Oh, come on. Give number of games. Why won't you give number of games? Well, okay. So he was named. Yeah, he was named coach, interim coach in June of 2023. And then who took over? Who was after him?
Herdman.
Because he took... Oh, God, that's right. But Herdman came in... right at the very end of the season. That's right. Yeah, so Terry just suffered.
He didn't want to deal with the buzzing around of TFC media. So he waited until the end of the season and it fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good times.
Who the fuck was I thinking of? I know I was thinking, for some reason, I got him confused with Dasovic.
I was going to say, you're thinking of Dasso, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in my brain, former Canadian player, check.
Yeah.
Coach for a small amount of time at TFC, check. Yeah, same guy. Isn't it?
Yeah, this is all adding up, so I don't disagree, yeah.
Only 13 years apart. I mean, what could that be? Dasovic probably fucking managed Dunfield.
So what, actually, I don't even know what he's doing now. He was, you know, he was like, he was with Vancouver, like the Whitecaps system for a while, right? Like,
yeah, he's who, Dasso?
Oh, he's, sorry. Oh, speaking of Dasovic, speaking of Vancouver, he's assistant coach for Martin Nash with the Seagulls.
No kidding.
Or in Wikipedia.
Well, and when has that been wrong?
That's true. That's never, ever wrong. Ever. Players and staff. Can I have actual staff? No, you're just going to go through players. Head coaches. Well, what about the assistant coaches? Tell me. All right, fine. I don't care. Sorry. But yeah, Das was one of those ones where we kind of liked him, right? We were sort of almost... Because he sort of did okay for his 4 games, right? Or however many games it was.
He won 3 whole-ass games on a terrible
team. I know.
He should have been on the wall of honor, for God's sake.
He did, absolutely. when he didn't get sort of, when he didn't seriously get like the nod for it the next season, it was like, what? You know, like we were, I remember being a little bit in high dudgeon over that, right? So anyway. All right, so congratulations, Terry. We will see you in July, because he's not taking over until July, because he is doing, he's working with the U20s for some tournament in France. His first match will be Sunday, July 5th against Halifax. So I don't even know who's actually coaching the team right now. The players. Maybe the players are coaching themselves.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Right?
They're taking care
they'll build some confidence, you know, like bond as a team. What a bonding exercise is just to coach themselves. Like, why not?
Hey coach, can I have this juice box? Have you finished your homework? No. That's responsibility. That's football responsibility, and it can't be out. Because some of them are just children.
All right. The XNT have a friendly against Costa Rica next week. Tuesday night, 9:30 Eastern time. And where's the squad list? Oh, why is this so hard to look at? Okay. Canada Soccer's website got a bit of a revamp, everyone. It is slightly improved, but the way they do the squad articles now, I find more annoying. I like the way they just, I like the utilitarian nature of their squad announcement articles in the past. Everything was just listed out, you know, boom, boom, boom. Not like in story form, just in, here's a list. Here you go. Enjoy. In order of what positions they play. I was like, I like this. Not a ton, again, of surprise on this one. I think the big one is the inclusion of Elizabeth Say, first senior call-up after having done very well with the youth program. And then the big surprise, and this is fascinating, and this name will maybe be vaguely familiar to you, depending on how much attention you've paid to the women's national team over the years. But Jordan Listrow. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, wait. And she has returned to the national team for the first time in 5 years. She only ever had a couple caps. But she's been slowly... she actually left soccer for a little while, but she's come back over the last few years. She's been playing in the NWSL and has been working, you know, like working her way back into football. And I guess she's done enough and shown enough over the last couple of years playing in the States that Casey Stoney's decided to bring her back into the squad. Which is fascinating. And honestly, one of the things I actually like about Casey Stoney is that she does pay attention to the former players that, you know, may have dropped, you know, just didn't get that second chance, or, you know, had a life thing or whatever. And I'm fascinated by this. So I'll be curious. I hope she plays next week. I think that would be, that would be interesting just to see. She's a midfielder. She plays for Tampa Bay right now. And yeah, so that's like the big, you know, nice to see a youth player who's been successful and showing very well get a call up. You always want that. But yeah, to see this, you know, been 5 years since she even was like, she's not even been in a camp. Do you know what I mean? And then boom, here she is. So I'm super curious about this. No Adriana Leone or Jade Riviere. Both are injured. Oh, Jade, please, please find a way to stay healthy. Ready, please. How old is Jordan Listrow? Yeah, she's 30. She's from Toronto. DB Pridham, who, you know, has all of her passport stuff figured out.
That old chestnut.
Yeah, I can't let it go. I probably should, but yeah, some of the younger players, Ashley Lawrence, off a pretty successful season. Good to see Kadisha seems to be fully healed, so that'll be nice to see. Simeon Wujo, who we really like. Yeah, all the usual suspects, really. Barring injury, and maybe could see a couple more of the younger players, but some of the NSL players are here, including some of the younger ones. Have to sort of rotate that out a bit. Olivia Smith, so she's there. She hasn't been injured lately, so I'm taking this as positive. Anyway, a decent squad for an away, and really, I'll be watching Elizabeth Say and Jordan Listrow, just out of curiosity more than anything, to see how both of them adjust to playing with the national team. That's all.
Right.
Yeah.
What's coming up? Men's national team versus Ireland Friday night in Montreal, 7 p.m. on TSN. Score predictions.
2-1, Canada.
Duncan.
1-1.
Ooh, bold.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, though. I actually agree with Duncan. I'm going 1-1 as well.
Ah, bold, bold.
Indeed. Canpiel, what do we got happening? As we mentioned, yeah, Seagulls at Leti, Calgary, Halifax. I still think Supra Aquamen is probably the more interesting match of the week. Nothing against the GTA matchup of York Six versus Hamilton, but Aquamen almost for a good chunk of time were winning last week. Can they find a little something again this week? And that would be the match I think that I would be paying attention to. Also, I believe it's the TSN match, so obviously TSN agrees with me that this should be the match that you all pay attention to. It is. Oh no, I'm looking at the wrong match. Sad now. I looked at the wrong week. Oh no, I am not. I'm just scrolling too much on the Campiel website. Yes, it is. TSN. It's the TSN match. On Saturday at 7 p.m. So there you go. And
Is
then they're
this the home
packing in a
opener?
bunch of matches next week as well, before the World Cup.
Is this another one of their home openers?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because
Oh, I don't know if that's. I just assumed they were playing at Boreal for that one.
tell us at Laval.
Oh, at Laval. Oh, home opener number three. No wonder it's
How
on
about that?
TSN.
Hope they get a good crowd.
Fancy. All right. But yeah,
That's actually a
over
good
the
game to put on
course,
national
yeah, over the
television.
course of like 5 days, I think they all play twice. As they try to cram in a bunch of matches before the World Cup. Anyway, but I do think that Supra Pacific one is probably the more interesting one. Although, if you're bored Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m., head on up to York Lions and settle in for some football. Mark, are you going to the match?
No, I am going to a Toronto Tempo game at 3 o'clock.
Shut your face.
Yeah, my face is completely open. You can't tell me what to do.
God damn it, Mark.
Yeah. Who's jealous?
Me.
Our dominatrix host.
Yeah. Go
Yeah.
to go Toronto CIBCs. Woo.
Man.
That one hurt, Duncan, because we both hate the sponsors, especially how many there are. Yeah, no, I'm continuing my streak of trying not to go to Forge games because
Apparently, by doing anything but, yes,
honest to God,
I
I like You know, if you told
have
me,
you,
like,
you've been to one match
I've
this
been to
season,
one
right?
whole last game. If you told me,
You've been to
like
more
last
TFC
season,
matches this season, I
you'd be
think.
getting into June and you've only been to one match, I would have called you a liar. I probably would have slapped. I wouldn't have slapped you, but I would have thrown a slap. I would have missed. But there's no way I'm only gonna only one game. Bullshit. Yeah,
That's pretty
so
fucking funny.
I forget what football looks like in person sometimes. So yeah, I'm going to Hooper Baskets. But
That's pretty great though. Like I am absolutely 100% jealous. So, because I have yet to get to a tempo game. So,
the
but
I will
I look forward to seeing all of the excited people coming through Union on the weekend though.
for sure. I To be fair, if it's going to be as if the weather's supposed to be as cooperative, I'd rather be indoors anyway. So,
Oh, is it supposed to rain this weekend again?
oh no, I just don't want to. There's no shade up at York.
Oh,
So,
I see what you're saying. I see what you're
yeah,
saying.
I want all everybody who's considering, building stadiums and are taking this podcast as some kind of a sample as to who might buy it. Build a roof, or I'm not going. Okay. There we go. I'm over this shit. I'm over weather, God damn it. I would have loved to have gone to this game. But alas, life. But I think I have to agree that the Super Match is kind of the most intriguing match of the week. Not because it's three easy points, but
Yeah.
I kind of want to see a massive crowd
Yeah.
out at Telus, and I also want to I want to see I want it to be such a big crowd that Campiel's going, okay, super, you know how we did that whole Team Quebec shit when you first got in here? Hear us out. What if you weren't? And we put a team in Quebec City.
All those places you played, they could all support a team. So there's going to be three of them there now.
Oh my God. If that's the proof of concept that needed to happen, Duncan, I'm gonna be fucking
Yes.
mean
So
life.
you're gonna have to share some of the Quebec players.
Yeah. I actually, you know what, Duncan? I don't think they need to. I think there's more that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, that's so good. All right, I love that. Delightful, delightful. Okay, NSL, as previously mentioned, Halifax versus Calgary. So congratulations, Halifax, on your 3 points. Toronto versus Montreal. You know, Montreal lost recently. Toronto finally won again. What are we thinking here? They're playing in Toronto. Or are we going for a draw? This is also a TSN match, as is Halifax Calgary. I know.
Oh, wow.
Everybody's just everybody gets to be on TSN now. No, just kidding.
Football everywhere.
Yes.
Ooh.
Woo.
It sounded like you had your tongue out
I
wagging
did.
your head from like side to side there, Mark.
I Duncan,
Excellent.
I'm often impressed by you, sir, but that was super impressive that you picked up that audible tongue wag. Yeah, no, I went for it. I don't know why. Yeah, I see. I don't hope for bad things with AFC Toronto, but Montreal is Montrealing, and I wish Toronto
Now,
all the best.
I should point out, actually, again, this is what happens when I don't fully pay attention to things on the interwebs, that all of these matches that we're talking about for the NSL are next weekend because there's an
Oh, it's the
international
13th.
break.
I see it now.
Yeah. So maybe some of the players, the few players that are playing with the national team on Tuesday, will come back with renewed confidence and vigor. as there's at least one or two Toronto players that are off with the national team. And I think someone from Vancouver. I don't know about any of the Montreal players. Anyway, so we can talk about this more fully if you want to take a few days and think about it. Think about what we've done. And since I'm not sure what day we're podcasting next week, do we want to just arbitrarily predict the XNT versus Costa Rica?
2-0.
Did you say 2-0?
Sure.
4?
Yeah, Canada, why not? Fuck it.
I felt like I had to check. Marcus?
Yeah, 3-1, Canada.
Jordan Listro surprises everybody. I'm going to go with 3-1 as well. I love it. Why not? Okay. That is our very rambly and a bit error-filled show. My apologies. Those are all my fault. For this week, but we hope you enjoyed story time at the beginning and our focus on the Supra's third home opener of the season towards the latter half of the show. Please join us next week when we're going to recap the weekend a little bit, but we're basically what we're going to do is our level best to look ahead to the World Cup, Canada specifically, but with some general predictions for the tournament as a whole. That'll be about a 4-hour show. No, I'm just kidding. It's 3 hours.
Promises, promises.
Yeah, I know. anyway, if you don't have World Cup fever yet, like us, I don't know. Watch.
We get you.
Replay stuff from the Azteca or that freezing cold match at BMO Field when they officially qualified.
Or keep an eye out for that oddly horrific Hellman's mayonnaise ad with Alistair Johnson, where the one
that
guy
sounds horrific. What are you talking about?
So basically, it starts off with like Alistair Johnson's on the bench, like he's running around, he's on the bench, he grabs a bottle of water, just shoots, you know how like the squeeze bottle, you shoot it into your mouth.
Okay. Sure.
Then it cuts to a guy making a sandwich, putting mayonnaise, and he sees Alistair Johnson do the water thing, and he grabs the mayo and he aims it at his face, and like Alistair Johnson's on TV, knocks on the TV, he's like, dude, what are you doing? And it's not even that like Alistair Johnson was perfect in it, but the idea that this guy was going to squeeze mayonnaise out of a squeeze bottle into his face did not do anything for mayonnaise. And I love mayo. So like, that doesn't get you hyped up for World Cup fever. Seeing a mayonnaise ad. Anyway, it's just, that was one of the ads that ran during the Uzbekistan game. So
I somehow missed that. Was it during halftime?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh, I think I was also trying to do the dishes at the same time. So I'm pretty sure I spent most of halftime trying to do dishes. So that's probably why. Anyway, after that exciting end of show anecdote, again, join us next week to talk mostly about the World Cup and do our level best to make all sorts of inaccurate predictions about both Canada and the eventual tournament itself, which we will of course continue to talk about during the tournament, but we'll do our usual throw dartboards at darts.
You know what, the darts had it too good.
They really did.
This sounds like a more entertaining sport, to be honest.
What if you could hang the dartboard off of, if it lands just right, that'd be cool. Surely that would count for bonus points.
I feel like it should.
I believe so. All right, excellent. I have been joined by these two delightful gentlemen. Please look for him on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Oh, yeah, I'm well worth looking for on the Twitters these days. Oof, wow.
So Twitter looking.
Yep. Hot take after hot take.
Non-stop.
Yes.
He's a hot take machine.
Yes.
Out there on the tweets at Kid Nerd Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to listen to our podcast. We appreciate it. If you're feeling like you want to put a tip in the tip jar, we have a Patreon you can find on our website, vocalminority.ca. And I still want to trade stickers, guys. So, like, you know, if you've got them, just like, this isn't even
to our audience. He is serious. Please do let him know. This isn't a bit. He's 100% serious about this.
Kristen, I meant if you and Duncan have any stickers.
Oh, you can't have my stickers. No, those are mine.
I just want doubles. I don't want like yours. You know, get yours. Get your set, right? Get yours. And then I want to trade doubles. But anyway, I guess anyone
I can draw you a sticker if you like, Mark. Who do you need?
Like the Panini account.
400 of them right now. So do you want to wait until I fill them out a bit and then we'll...
Yeah, good plan. Good plan. Yeah. All right.
Nice.
Oh, dear. As for me, you could find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Kristen Knowles. Until next weekend, get used to it.